Okay, are you ready to snuggle up? Let's get cozy. Sorry, just getting the covers all like I want them. So, let's get cozy. So, we last heard about Faithful Johannes, and we're still in A Tale Dark and Grim, Book One. And where Johannes's story ends, the tale of Hansel and Gretel truly begins. The king and the queen soon had a pair of beautiful twins, a girl and a boy. They named the boy Hansel and the girl Gretel. They were the light of their parents' lives. Hansel was dark like his father, with black curly hair and charcoal eyes. Gretel was fair like her mother, with hair that looked like it was spun from pure gold thread, and eyes that shone like the sea. They were happy children, full of play and mischief, full of play and mischief and joy. So happy were they, in fact, that they nearly made their parents forget the faithful servant who had saved their lives, and how they had betrayed him. Nearly, but not quite. And one day, as the king played with Hansel and Gretel at the foot of his bed, and the queen was off in chapel praying, he began to cry.
"He understood me," the king said, "though I did not understand him."
He fell to the foot of the statue and wept. When his tears touched the stone, something Johannes spoke.
"There is a way, king," the stone Johannes said, "to rescue me from this rock, if you truly wish it." "Oh, I do," the king cried. "I'll do anything, anything."
And Johannes said, "There are no young children in this room, right? You're certain?" "Okay." And Johannes said,
"You must cut off the heads of your children and smear my statue with their blood. And then, and only then, will I return to life."
Remember when I told you what happened when Hansel and Gretel finally showed up? The king collapsed on the bed, weeping, but he felt he had no choice.
"You understood me always, no matter what," he said. "So I will understand you."
He stood, beckoned Hansel and Gretel to his side, drew a sword from its place on the wall, and cut off their heads. Their lifeless bodies dropped to the floor. "See?" The king took their blood on his hands and smeared it on the statue. Just as he had foretold, Johannes returned to life, covered in the children's blood. And the king, despite the blood and through his tears at his own children's deaths, threw his arms around his faithful servant, Johannes. The end. Nearly. Johannes smiled his sweet, crooked smile and said,
"You have understood me at the greatest cost."
And he placed little Hansel's head back on his body and little Gretel's head on hers. And instantly, they began to leap and play as if nothing had happened, and as if they were not covered in blood. And the king threw his arms around them, and then again around Johannes, and they all laughed with joy. The end. Almost. For just then, the king heard the queen's footsteps echoing in the hall. He looked at Johannes, back from the dead, and their children, covered in blood.
"Quickly,"
he said, and hurried them all into a wardrobe. When the queen came into the room, he asked her how her prayers had gone, and she replied, "I can barely pray. I think only of Johannes and how we failed him. And the king replied,
What if I told you, dear queen, that there was a way to repay our debt to Johannes, and to bring him back to life, but that it was a terrible way, and it would cost us everything that is most dear to us? What would you say?
Anything, the queen cried. Anything we can do, we must do. We owe it to him.
Even if it meant killing our two children? The king asked.
The queen gasped. Gasped. She fell to the floor and wept bitterly. At last she said, I would never do it. I could never do it. But I know we should. We owe him our lives.
I couldn't agree more, the king exclaimed. And that's why,
as he said this, he opened the wardrobe doors, and out came their two beloved children, all covered in blood, followed by a living, breathing Johannes. The queen screamed and fainted. The king threw a basin of water in her face, and she woke up and screamed again. Then the king explained it all to her, and she wept and laughed and threw her arms first around her children and after around Johannes, and then she held them all at once and wept and laughed some more. The end. Well, sort of. You see, the way the brothers Grimm tell it, that is the end, but it isn't really. Not at all. For as the king recounted what had happened to his wife, Hansel and Gretel heard and understood. Late that night, they lay in their beds, unable to sleep. Hansel, Gretel said.
Yes, Gretel.
Did you hear what father said?
Yes.
He cut off our heads to save that ugly old man. Hansel was silent. And Mommy was glad that he did. Do you think they hate us? Hansel was silent still. I think we should run away, Gretel said, in case they want to do it again.
That's just what I was thinking, Hansel answered. Just what I was thinking.
Are you ready for Hansel and Gretel? Get comfy. Once upon a time, two children left their home and walked out into the wide, wild world. The land was dark as Hansel and Gretel made their way across the level turf beyond the palace moat. They had never left the palace by themselves before, and they knew little of the great world beyond its walls. But they had been frightened by what their father had done, and they believed firmly in their little hearts that parents should not kill their children, and they were resolved to punish theirs by going out and finding a family that was as nice as a family should be. How to find such a family, though? They had no option but to walk and walk and walk until they came across one. So they did walk on and on and on until the firm ground became softer under their feet. Soon they found themselves in the midst of a muck-thick swamp where will-o'-the-wisps danced and bullfrogs croaked. They became frightened. But on they went. When the sun came up the next morning and the swamp still showed no sign of coming to an end, Gretel began to worry.
I think we'll be lost forever, she said.
Hansel said, And there's no food anywhere. But Hansel was wrong, for just then the two children saw a marvelous sight. There was a house right in the center of the swamp. Its walls were the color of chocolate cake, and its roof glittered under the rising sun like icing. Slowly, the two hungry travelers approached it.
I'm hungry, Hansel said.
Me too, Gretel agreed.
It looks like cake, Hansel said.
It smells like cake, Gretel agreed.
Let's eat it, Hansel cried.
Gretel tried to agree, but her mouth was already full of fudgy, moist chocolate cake. Just then, the door to the house flew open, and a woman in a baker's apron appeared on the front step.
"Who's eating my house?"
she bellowed. Hansel hid a handful of cake behind his back. Gretel had chocolate all over her face.
"No one," Hansel said. Gretel nodded, swallowing. But the baker woman's face softened when she saw the two children.
"You must be lost to be in the middle of the swamp all by yourselves. Are you hungry?"
Gretel nodded and tried to sneak another handful of cake from the wall of the house.
"Well, don't eat my house," the baker woman laughed. "Come in, and I'll fix you a proper breakfast."
So the children came in, and she made them goose eggs and wild boar bacon and good, thick, brown German bread with butter. They were so full after breakfast and so exhausted from having walked all night that the kindly baker woman put them in her bed and let them sleep all day. When they awoke, a wonderful meal of sausages and potatoes and cold milk was laid out before them.
"But I'm not hungry," Hansel said. "Oh, you must eat up and regain your strength," the baker woman told him.
So the children ate. The food was delicious. The baker woman asked the children what their names were.
"This is Gretel," Hansel said as he shoved a disgustingly large amount of potatoes into his mouth. "I'm her brother, Hansel."
Then the baker woman wanted to know how they had come to her house. They were careful not to let her know that they were royalty, lest she return them to the castle and their murderous parents. But they did tell her that their parents had cut off their heads, which, of course, the baker woman didn't believe, and that they were looking for a kind family where no one would ever do that to them again.
"And where we can eat cake whenever we want," Gretel added hopefully.
The baker woman smiled and brought forth an enormous chocolate cake.
"Hooray!" Hansel cried.
Gretel shoved a fistful into her mouth. The two children stayed with the baker woman for many weeks. Every day they ate 3 enormous meals, plus a snack between lunch and dinner, and one before bedtime. They could eat whatever they wanted, and they did. Gretel shoved chocolate cake into her mouth continuously, smearing it onto her pink cheeks like war paint. Hansel wasn't much better. One night, as the children lay in bed with horrible stomach aches, Hansel said to his sister,
"Do you think this is heaven? The baker woman does all the work, we can eat as much as we like, and we never have to do anything."
"It must be heaven," Gretel said. Then Hansel said, "Gretel, do you miss our parents?" Gretel tried to think if she did or not, but she couldn't tell. She was too busy eating the wall.
It wasn't heaven, of course, for, as you well know, the baker woman was planning to eat them. But she wasn't a witch. The Brothers Grimm call her a witch, but nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, she was just a regular woman who had discovered, sometime around the birth of her second child, that while she liked chicken, and she liked beef, and she liked pork, what she really, really liked was child.
I bet you can figure out how this happened. When I was little, my mother used to say, "Oh, you're so cute. Look at those little arms. Look at those little legs. Look at that little tookie." That was my mother's word for my bottom. And then she'd say, "I'm going to eat you up." And she said it like she meant it. Has your parent ever said something like that to you? Most parents say that kind of thing all the time, you know. It's totally normal. Just be careful not to let them actually taste you. Well, the baker woman's children tasted so good to her that she decided to spend the rest of her time trying to find others to devour. She liked them nice and plump, so she always made sure to fatten them up before she ate them, which is why she was treating Hansel and Gretel as she was. Why else would she allow them to wallow around all day, giving them nothing to do, nothing to work for, nothing to learn? Why else trap them in a house of chocolate cake and let them eat to their heart's content, never warning them that
They would become fat and lazy, like pigs in a sty. Parents are supposed to help their children to grow wise and healthy and strong. The baker woman was doing the opposite, plying the children with so much food and giving them so little to do that they could not help but become weak and heavy and dull instead. Dull enough that Gretel didn't question when the baker woman asked her to clean out the large, mysterious cage in the back of the house, and then slammed the door shut on her, heavy enough that Hansel didn't feel like going outside to see where his sister had gone, weak enough that, when the baker woman told Hansel that they would be fattening Gretel up for just one more week, and that then they would eat her, Hansel could do nothing about it. And then the day came to eat Gretel. "I think we'll roast her," the baker woman said. "A little rosemary, some salt, and we'll put her in the oven for 3 or 4 hours. Then her meat will positively fall off the bone." She brought the fat Hansel down to her basement, where there stood an enormous oven. "I need you to check if this is hot enough, sweetie," the baker woman said. "I'm going to start heating it, and you get inside. When I can smell your skin roasting, I'll know it's ready for your sister." She shoved Hansel inside and closed the oven door. The oven became hotter and hotter, and Hansel began to sweat. Then a delicious smell wafted to his nostrils. "Oh, no," he thought. "I'm cooking." He sniffed at the air. "And I smell delicious." But he wasn't cooking. It was just the remainder of a leg of goose that he'd hidden in his trouser pocket from last night's dinner and had forgotten to eat before he fell asleep. It was so hot in the oven that the skin was crinkling. The baker woman smelled it too. She came down and opened the oven door.
"Are you cooking yet?" she asked.
But Hansel took another bite of the goose leg. The woman frowned and closed the oven door.
I probably should have said yes," he thought. "Oh, well."
He finished off the goose leg and continued to sweat. Soon another delicious smell rose to his nostrils. "Oh, no," he thought. "Now I'm cooking for certain." He sniffed at the air.
And I do smell delicious."
But he wasn't cooking. It was 3 strips of bacon that he tucked into his socks at breakfast. It was so hot in the oven that the fat was sizzling and popping. The baker woman smelled it too. She came down and opened the oven door.
"Are you cooking yet?"
she asked. But Hansel shook his head and ate the 2nd strip of bacon. The baker woman opened the door.
"I probably should have said yes," he thought. "Oh, well."
Hansel finished off the bacon and continued to sweat. Soon, another delicious smell rose to his nostrils.
"Oh, no," he thought. "I must be cooking now, and I smell delicious, just like chocolate cake."
This time, he was right. He was cooking, and he did smell just like chocolate cake because he had eaten so much of it since coming to the baker woman's house. The baker woman came downstairs and opened the oven door.
"Are you cooking yet?"
she asked. But Hansel shook his head.
I don't think it's hot enough in here," he shrugged. "That smell is just some chocolate cake I'd stuffed in my undies."
"Not hot enough in there," the baker woman huffed. "Let me see."
She crawled into the oven, pushing Hansel out of the way.
"Feels plenty hot to me," she said.
Hansel had crawled out of the oven while the baker woman was crawling in. He looked at her, pink and mean and sweating, sitting in the enormous oven.
"Hey!"
she shouted at him.
"What are you doing?"
Something dim flickered in his food-addled brain.
"I'm saving myself and my sister," he said, "from another terrible parent."
And then he closed and locked the oven door.
"Hey, let me out!"
the baker woman shouted at him.
Hey, you stupid little kid, let me out!
Hansel stared through the grate on the oven door at her. The baker woman began to sweat more. Her face was burning.
I'm sorry, she cried. I'm sorry for what I've done. I don't want to die. Just let me out. Let me out!
Hansel's face softened.
Please, please, I could die in here. I could die!
Hansel began to feel sorry for her, but he certainly wasn't going to let her out. He walked upstairs and out to the back of the house, where he found Gretel sitting in a dirty cage. Are you hungry? He asked. She looked up. Dinner's in the oven, he added. But Gretel wasn't hungry. And besides, he was only kidding. The end. Now that's not a bad little story, but it is a crime. A crime that is the only part of Hansel and Gretel's story that anyone knows. Yeah, nearly getting eaten by a cannibalistic baker woman is bad, but not nearly as bad as what's to come. Speaking of which, the little kids might have liked that one, or at least they probably could have sat through it without screaming their heads off. In fact, if any little kids heard that story, that's just fine. Hi, little kids! But things get much worse from here on. So why don't you go hire a babysitter and let's do the rest of this thing alone. Oh, that's about the story that I remember from when I was a kid. Savage. Word savage 3 times today. That's unacceptable. Someone needs to work on my vocabulary. But for now, let's just lie back down and take a little rest. Not thinking about that story. It's not a pleasant story. I mean, I knew that the Grimm fairy tales are decidedly not pleasant stories, but I think I need a palate cleanser after that. Not a food one. Yeah, let's just take a nap.